This lesson series is challenging me. So let's start off in prayer, and we'll have our conversation. Our dearest Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us together. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to speak your name. Lord, the opportunity to hear your word, the opportunity to be encouraging to one another. Thank you for giving us a space where we can come that is safe, a space where we can put our fears behind us. Lord, a space we can walk into without fear of condemnation or judgment, but knowing that we are all the same. We are all striving to the same end. So this morning, help us to have our eyes open and our hearts ready to receive. Help us to hear. And I pray that at the end of our conversation today, this time together, as we leave, we will be changed. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today's beatitude is challenging to me. But before I start, kids, do y'all have your worship notes? Anybody who's a kid in here does not have your worship notes? Okay, Miss Shelley has some. You want to just hold it up right here. If you want to go ahead and get those, if you don't have them, yeah, run over there and get them real quick. Get a couple. Okay, so as you're doing that, kids, do you know what meek means? You know what it means to be meek? Anyone? You just shout it out, kids. Anyone? Older kids, you know what it means to be meek? What'd you say? Candy? No? Yeah? It's okay. You can talk. It's church. I'm giving you an opportunity to talk in church. Anyone? Okay, I'll just say this. It means humble, gentle. As you saw in the video, it's somebody who was, just someone who's gentle. So I wanted to tell you a story really quickly about a moment whenever God humbled me. See, some people are born humble and some people have to be humbled. So I was borrowing a bicycle from my roommate, Hans, and he is one of these sportsmen, and he had a professional bike that you'd see in the Tour de France or something. This guy, he knew what he was doing, and he had the same shoe size as me, and they had the bike shoes, you know? I don't know if you've ever ridden a bike that needed shoes, but I had never ridden a bike that needed shoes. And so I got on the bike, and I felt good about myself. You know, that's back in the 90s, whenever the spandex shorts were really cool and in and popular. At least that's what I tell myself. And so I'm riding the bike right to the intersection. And whenever I get to the intersection, I realize I have no idea how to get my feet out of the pedals. Because, you know, they clip in. And I felt really good about myself. And I'm there after and I just stop. And there's a moment of panic in my head. And I just slowly just fall over. just like that. Kids, that is a humbling moment. By the way, you just kick your heels out. That's what I learned. You know, and this is what's funny, is that some people have to be humbled before they realize that, you know, you need to be humbled. And then some people are born that way. It's like the kid who's really good at baseball or football, but they don't have to tell everyone they're really good. It's the guy who's really tough, but they don't have to prove it. So this is the meek. This is what we're talking about today, kids, is the meek. So take notes, and if you have any questions or if you learned anything, find me. I would love to hear about it. I do hope this series is helpful. I mean, it has been helpful for me, so I hope it's been helpful for you. These short 8 or 9 verses in the beginning of Matthew, they're challenging, every one of them. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This is what we talk about today, the meek. Blessed are the meek, the blessed life, the fortunate life, the better life. Now, typically, you don't think of that when you hear words like mourning or poor or humble or meek or persecuted. Those words conjure up different images, don't they? But as we have stated, to be blessed is to know that we are not alone. It's to know that God is paying attention, that He's with us. And there's hope in this statement, blessed are the meek. Because for Jesus' audience, there was not much hope to go around. So some of the people in Israel at this point, they decided that they would put their entire efforts in life into being religious, into following the law and doing everything that they could to make sure that they followed the rules so that God would take notice of them and pay attention. Hopefully, through paying attention to the righteous few, God would decide to give them back their kingdom. There were others in this audience and throughout Jerusalem who wanted to take Israel back by force. They thought if they could just start a war, God would pay attention and he would deliver them. So they declared a holy war and they did acts of terrorism and lots of people died, both Roman and Jewish. But then there are also those people who they did their best to simply manage life. They wanted to survive. They navigated their world without being difficult. They wanted to find work, and they did. If they could find it, they went to work very, very religiously, I guess. They were there. They had to provide for their family. They were probably poor, but they were also judged by their more righteous neighbors as being, I don't know, passionless, weak, ineffective, useless to the cause of God. These were the poor. These were the expendable. These were the meek. So today we talk about the meek. What do you think of when you hear that word, meek? I think the traditional idea is that meekness is weakness. I saw a meme today and it said, if you think meekness is weakness, try being meek for a week. I said, that's pretty good. Now, even though we know this really isn't true, it's hard to shake it, isn't it? You definitely don't want to put that on your profile on Facebook, or even if you're looking for a significant other. I'm Scott, I'm 40-something, and I'm meek. You know, it's not really. Because this idea of meekness is hard to shake because we see it as weakness, because traditionally our images of Jesus have been this, I guess, white, thin, ineffective guy that has spent most of the past 20 years in the library. I mean, you see a lot of pictures like this, and I don't think Jesus was a weak person at all. In Scripture, the word is oi praes. It is defined as mild, tame, humble, unaggressive. And what's interesting, we read it earlier, is that Jesus in this moment was quoting Psalm 37, verse 11. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Now, the word used in Psalms is the same word we've mentioned before, and that is anawim. Ani, anawim, the poor. More specifically, those people who are so poor that they have been driven to fully rely on God for everything, even justice. Powerless people. Now, we've mentioned that the Anawim are also the poor in spirit. And these people, they're powerless. They are the ones that were left behind whenever Babylon had taken over Israel, remember? And they took off the noble, the smart, the influential, the ones who, you know, were useful. The ones who were left behind were, for all sakes and purposes, useless. They weren't even worth killing. These are the Anawim. These people are all over Judea. They are throughout Jesus' audience when he's speaking in Matthew. These are the meek, the humble, the gentle. These are the people that endure injuries. They keep on going even though things don't go their way. They have nothing except the hope that God is going to help them. These people are oppressed. Have you ever known anyone who was oppressed? Another word that they use is afflicted. Jesus, in this moment, speaks hope to them. He says to those who are meek, they shall inherit the earth. Now, I love this. This is very interesting. I've not noticed this really before, but he uses the word inherit. Inherit. Is there hope in that word, inherit? Inherit doesn't mean quick. Inherit doesn't mean possess. Possession implies control or taking something. And I tell you, these people know a lot about what it means to take control because someone had done that to them, right? They had possessed their land. They had come from a long history of taking possession, and now they are the possessed and the oppressed ones. Jesus uses the word inherit. And I thought, what do you have to be able to inherit something? You have to be an heir. And what usually has to happen before that inheritance is received? Well, typically a death has to occur. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We see a few examples of meekness in Scripture. One of those is found in Numbers. It's Moses. And I love this verse. Moses was more humble. He was more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Now here's Moses, the savior of a nation. He was amazing. He was very talented, grew up in Egypt in the palace, had all the knowledge and wisdom you could gather from that time period, knew how to fight this guy. This man knew what it was like to be in power. So there was a moment right after this happened whenever Miriam and Aaron, his brother and sister, speak out against him because of his wife. And they think, why is God just talking to this man? He should talk to us too. And God would have none of that. And so he brought them all out of it, out of the temple. And right at the moment when he was about to punish Miriam and Aaron, he's about to dole out justice, Moses defended them. Moses didn't care about people knowing that he was in power or in control. Moses was about God and about his people. And he loved his sister and his brother, however difficult they were. Moses, he had a temper. Doesn't mean he was powerless. He got angry. In fact, one time he got so angry at these people that God said, that's the deal breaker. I'm not going to let you into the promised land. But for the most part, Moses was about these people. 2 million people who were difficult. God sees this humble act of submission and sacrifice, and he blesses it. I mean, how much courage did that take for him? To be humble and meek, even when people are griping at him and threatening him. Turn to Zephaniah chapter 3. It's towards the back of the Old Testament. This prophet starts off this chapter of chapter 3. He's talking about how Jerusalem has become oppressive. Jerusalem was oppressive even to its own people. I mean, oppression, I think, oppressive is the opposite of meek. And these people were taking advantage of the weak. They were taking advantage of their own people. They don't even treat the temple sacredly anymore. They don't even have respect when they're in the temple. So Zephaniah begins chapter 3 talking about how Jerusalem is a city of oppressors. Now, when we're talking about oppression, we usually mean injustice or taking advantage of others. Jerusalem had become a bully, even to its own people. And this is my question. Why do people oppress? Why is there oppression? As you think through that question, one of my outcomes is that I think it's because of fear, isn't it? Why is there poverty? I think one of the main reasons there's poverty is because some people are afraid of not having enough, so they just take more. And those people who remain in poverty are afraid. Maybe they're afraid of getting out of it. Why do people climb over others to succeed in our culture? Have you ever seen that happen? Why do people, maybe they think that they, maybe they're afraid of not being significant or being a success. Why do some people try to force others to think or to act in a particular way? Maybe it's because people are afraid that they might lose their way of life or their belief. What I'm realizing is that when we are afraid, we have the tendency to do everything we can to tip the scales in our favor, even if it means making life worse for someone else, as long as it's better for us. When we're afraid, I think we sometimes throw our weight around, don't we? We use our power to manipulate others. And I ask myself, have I ever been oppressive? Yeah. Have you? So Zephaniah starts this chapter by calling these people oppressors, but he gives them hope and he says this, "On that day, you, Jerusalem, will not be put to shame for all the wrongs you've done to me, because I will remove from you your arrogant boasters. Never again will you be haughty on my holy hill, but I will leave within you the meek and the humble. The remnant of Israel will trust in the name of the Lord. They will do no wrong. They will tell no lies. Deceitful tongue will not be found in their mouths. They will eat," I love this, "they will eat and lie down, and no one will make them afraid." God describes his remnant as humble, meek, gentle. These are people who will continue to trust that God will see them through even the most difficult times. These are people who believe that God is paying attention. These are people who have put so much trust in God that they can eat and they can lie down without fear. These are children of God, and they aren't afraid. Are we afraid? What would it look like if we navigated the world with humility and without fear? Could we get up each and every day and put aside our desires? And could we, go to work, interact with our family, with people that we see each and every day? Could we come home and lie down without fear? Not afraid of losing your job. You're not afraid of losing a friend. You're not afraid of what people will do to you. You're not afraid of your safety. How would our lives change without fear? So when others look at us, do they see humility? Do they see someone who's gentle and meek? Do they see a fearless person? When they see us in the office, do they see someone who trusts in God completely? When they see us on social media, does every word or picture or post that we put out there communicate a complete trust in God? And I also have to ask, when people look at us, do they see the opposite? Do they see fear, arrogance, oppressive language? Are we afraid? A few weeks ago, the Supreme Court made a decision. People have been asking me what I thought about it. What are we going to do here at church? And my question back has always been, what has changed for this church family? Have our views changed because of the laws of the land? No. We are not bound to such things. We have more important things to deal with. We have higher aspirations. We're not going to be afraid because of a decision that the government has made. We're not going to live in that fear because we serve a God who's not surprised by this. He wasn't surprised. We serve the creator and the sustainer of the world. We serve the original creator of marriage. We serve a God who created us, and then he came to earth to die for us. All of us. He came to earth to die for those people who are struggling to find God in the middle of a sinful world. He even came to earth to die for those people who don't think there's sin, who don't think that what they're doing is wrong. He came to die for all of us. We are the light of the world. Our responsibility is to live in that light wherever we are. We will not turn anyone away who walks through these doors. No. Why? Because we know what it means to love. Many do not. We know the road to life. Many do not. We know what the truth is here, and the truth has set us free. Some people have no idea what true freedom really is. Our responsibility is, as followers of Jesus Christ, is to love one another, is to be humble and gentle, and be ready, as it says in 1 Peter 3:15, to respond to others when they ask us about the hope we have within us. And as it says at the end of that, but with gentleness and reverence. We are the light of the world. Are we afraid? So this idea of meekness could be applied to two different types of people here. Those people who are born meek, born humble, born powerless, they think that they can't do anything else but trust in God. How freeing would that be? People feel like, maybe you're in this room. Maybe you feel like people have treated you like a doormat. Maybe you feel like no one's given you justice. Maybe you feel like there is nothing you can do to make things right for the world or for yourself. Some people think you've given up, but you know what? In your head, you think, no, I'm going to just trust that God has got my back. Jesus says you are blessed. And I also think he was talking to those people who would choose this way of life. Could we choose that? Could we choose to be gentle and meek and put our power aside, put our put our desire for success and everything selfish aside so that we could serve others? How hard would that be? Man, I know it would be hard for me. But I'm trying. And I know Jesus was talking to those people who said, who had that opportunity to choose this way of life. We can choose humility. Jesus chose it. It's one of my favorite passages, Philippians chapter 2. It says this, think of yourself. This is the Message translation. Think of yourself the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but he didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and he took on the status of a slave. He became human. And he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death, a crucifixion. Could you choose to be powerless for the sake of Christ? For the sake of the person right next to you? Maybe they know God, maybe they don't. Maybe y'all are complete opposites in lifestyle. Could you choose to be powerless for that person to know God? Jesus is encouraging those who are powerless to know that you are not alone and you are heirs. You are his children. It's the same language when he promised his children in Israel. You've got an inheritance coming. The promised land. I'm going to lead you there. I think he's also encouraging all of us to give up our power for the sake of the world. For those of you who are meek by birth, for those of you who are meek by choice, you are blessed. Fortunate. God is with you. So for those of you who are on the fence, still deciding whether or not this is something you could really do, I want to give you some encouragement as we close out our service. At least my part. From the Apostle Paul, this is in Colossians. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. You can look at it on the screen, but it's always good to have it right there. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 2. Says this, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and now your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do in word, in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Blessed are the meek. Could you choose that today? I'll help if you help me, because we're in this together. We are the body of Christ. Be blessed.